Remember last week I mentioned to you about the leak up in the organ lot, up in the, what we have in the back there. This is a great illustration of what a little bit of, when we don't maintain things in our lives, so this is a physical thing, but if we don't maintain spiritual things in our lives, how much it will cost us. So it's a little leak up there. Believe you me, it's only a little leak. But because it was never noticed, it's going to cost in the vicinity of £3,500 to £4,000 to fix up. Because of the, so £1,800 for the scaffold, for the roofer to come in and build gullies and stuff out of lead, and a builder's been in and rebuilt all the stuff up there. The scaffolding, the finishing off and everything, the making good of it all adds up really quickly. Actually, what did I say? Three grand. Let's say £3,000. That was a bit evangelistic there. But even still, it shows how much something will cost eventually if we do not maintain. If we do not maintain what we're supposed to maintain, there will be a cost to pay somewhere down the line. Hidden damage. It was hidden. It was hidden away. We didn't know it was there because right underneath where the leak was a header tank, and the water would drop into the header tank, and there would be enough time with the water dropping into it that it would evaporate before it overflowed, so nobody really knew how bad it was until we ripped everything away. It's amazing, isn't it? So there's a whole lot of stuff in there. So we're talking about living ready, and today I want to talk about being prepared. So about 2.5 years ago, I was sitting at home on a Sunday afternoon, and my phone pinged, and I looked at an email, and it had some holiday destinations in this email. And one of them was Iceland. Going to Iceland. Not Iceland to shop, but Iceland, you know. Not, you know, hardly a holiday destination going to Iceland the shop, isn't it? And I flicked through, and then I came across this ad for trekking to Everest Base Camp. So right at that moment, I was ready to do it. I was ready. Tim was out. Tim came back, and I said, "Hey, mate, are you interested in this?" He goes, "Yes. Let's get into this." I was ready right at that moment, and I did all the homework. I knew everything there was to know about it. I knew what boots to buy, the clothes to wear, how I should have trained. This little video, we're just going to, just a very small clip, is on the first day of our trek. So I'm going to put in, you know, I want you to feel sorry for me, because 7 weeks before I started the trek, I broke my ankle, and I was, therefore, my preparation was even worse than it should have been. Okay, can we roll that, please?
You look like that one. You see a book.
Oh, we've got a,
well, I'm glad today has been just an easy stroll.
The easiest one.
But at least Alan here, who runs marathons, he's puffing as well, and he's all red as well, and it's pouring off me, but you know what, and you look, and the trouble is you look at some people, like Tim, like young Ben, like where's Ramsey, and these people, they haven't even got a sweat up yet, but their day's coming.
But I was wrong, their day never came, because they were prepared. Tim had been running 10 kilometres a day to get fit. These guys were just, there was a family there, and they were trekkers. They were properly prepared. But I tell you what, I was ready the moment Tim and I said, yes, let's do it. Here's another, I simply wasn't prepared enough. While we were living in Kenya, we had a team come out to us from a church in up in Norfolk, and the town we're living in was Dis. And this team of young people came out, and we were to show them the ropes and do different things with them. So one day, after a church service, a message comes to us that there's a woman who is incredibly sick wanting us to go and pray. So we go off, trundle off down into the slums. We get down into the slums. We find this woman incredibly sick. Now, it's a very long story, so I'm going to cut it very short. But the basis of the story was this. Bo and I had been rowing like crazy, like really bad that particular morning. And that happens, doesn't it, in marriage? Yeah. And we get down to this place, and they say, "Well, you pray for her." And I'm going, "You pray for her? You had the great idea of doing this, you know." And so we pray for this lady, and she's sick. I said, "Come on, let's get out of here then." And Bo goes, "No, I've got a word of knowledge. I think her back is bad as well." Okay. All right, well, you say it then. So there was a whole lot of bad attitude going along from me and Bo and everything going on.
Me.
Yes, you. Don't get, yes, indeed, you. I remember it vividly. Anyway, what ends up happening is, what happens is this woman gets healed of a whole lot of things. You know what? Bo and I were prepared, even in the state we were in of a little bit of argy-bargy going on, because we'd been getting up every morning and praying early in the morning. We'd been reading the Word. We'd been experiencing things. We'd been doing stuff. We were prepared. For us all, at the very moment of our salvation, we are in fact ready to serve the kingdom of God, God's purposes and His kingdom. This moment of salvation for all of us opens up the artesian well, which encompasses the fullness of everything that God has made available to us through His grace, His mercy, and His love. And right there, we are ready, but in no way are we yet prepared properly. There's a big difference between being ready and being prepared. And we're talking about living ready, so I want to talk to us about being prepared today. It's part of the whole picture. Living ready is a place of always being prepared. Being prepared is about being focused. And let's not confuse the idea of being prepared with that of being a prepper. Anybody seen those TV programs, those documentaries of the preppers, you know, and the picture of the one who's armed to the teeth, dressed in camo, wild-looking individual living in the middle of nowhere, ready to shoot anybody down when the New World Order comes to pass and stuff. Have a look at some of the stuff on YouTube. It is it's incredible. Stories abound with people spending every bit of money on canned food, storing them behind false walls, getting survival food, buying supplies of antibiotics, and then going on the National Geographic programs so that they can show the world what they've got, and then they show the world where they've got it. That does not make any sense to me, does it? It's like, if I was going to do that, nobody's going to know where I've got it stored, and you certainly ain't going to know what the heck I've got. Maybe I've got some guns and stuff. Maybe that's all, but I'm not a I'll never be a prepper like that. The Bible actually talks quite a lot about being prepared. For the Christian, preparedness or being prepared is about so much more than the prepper's example that we see on documentaries. Much of what we could regard as God's expectation of our preparedness and which would be accepted in our circles really is that of being us needing to be spiritually prepared. And of course, there's areas of we need to be mentally prepared, physically prepared, and resource prepared. You know what? It takes organization and preparedness just to get through life. Anybody notice that? If you never thought you were a planner, if you're still alive today and you're functioning and you have a house and you've got a car and you've got a job, guess what? You are, in some way, you are a planner. There's no two ways about it because we have to plan. When we read the book of Leviticus, we see the advice that was given to the Israelites on how they needed to be prepared, especially in the area of what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat, which was directly related, really, to living healthy and sustainable lives. It's very interesting when you look at that example. You know, we might think, oh, that's just Old Testament. That was just God talking to the Israelites in that situation. But he's a great example, actually, right now in the world, the Seventh-day Adventists. See, ever since the mid-1800s, when the Seventh-day Adventists as an organization began, and they're known for their wholeness and their health, and it's been a real emphasis for them. And they advocate vegetarianism and expect adherence to kosher laws. kosher meaning of food that complies with the strict dietary requirements or standards of the traditional Jewish law. If you read in Leviticus chapter 11, it talks about it. Things like abstaining from pork, from shellfish, and other animals described as being unclean. The church also encourages or discourages, rather, its members to any consumption of alcohol, any tobacco, smoking, any illegal drugs, etc. In fact, they even, in some places, say you shouldn't drink anything that's got caffeine in it, i.e. coffee, tea, any of the drinks that contain caffeine, etc. This is the interesting thing about it all. At the moment, they are carrying out research on 96,000 members of the Seventh-day members in America. They are living longer with less health issues than the ordinary Joe Blow because of what they are sticking to. Interesting thing. We look at Noah. We look at Noah talking from Genesis 5 through to Genesis 10, and God had seen that things had got out of control, corruption was rife on the earth. And in Genesis 6:14, God tells Noah to build an ark of gopher wood. Only time gopher wood is ever mentioned. It's most probably actually cypress wood. And God tells Noah how to build it. He builds this ark in preparation for a flood that never had previously occurred and nobody had ever heard of. God says this to Noah: "As for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible and gather it to yourself." Noah was prepared for what was going on. Joseph, we read about Joseph. He gets really badly treated by his brothers. Jealous brothers, he's sold into slavery, ends up in Egypt, where he later on he gets thrown into jail under a false accusation of a spurned married woman, of a wife of an important official. And while he's in prison, he interprets some dreams. He interprets the dreams of Pharaoh, eventually becomes pretty much in charge of all of Egypt. You know, Joseph listens to God as per Pharaoh's dream of 7 good years and 7 bad years, and it advises the nation to save a fifth of the abundant crops, and Egypt is prepared for what goes on. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 and 8 talks of the ant and how they prepare for the leaner months of winter. Proverbs 28, 19 and 20 says that if you work the land, then you will reap the benefits, but if you don't, you won't have anything. Proverbs 22 and verse 3 says that a person can be prepared by watching for trouble and avoiding it. That's the way why we should look for trouble, so we can avoid it, not get into it. I want to talk about 3 areas of preparedness: mental, physical, and spiritual. Starting off with physical. 1 Timothy 4:8 says this: "For physical training is of some value, but godliness, spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come." The reality is that if you and I are doing some sort of physical activity, it's good for us. Okay, 1 or 2. Okay, hello. I'll say it again. If we do some sort of physical activity, it is good for us. It is good for our bodies. It's good for our function. In fact, the older we get, the more we should keep doing stuff and getting involved in stuff and keeping active. Physical exercise keeps the body in a more healthy state than if you do not exercise at all. In fact, let's take it a little bit further. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 19 through 20 says this: "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property? You were bought with a price, so you were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made his own. So then honor and glorify God with your body." Very briefly, physical, mental. There is something about being mentally prepared for life. And it could be argued, this could be argued quite easily, that there is little difference between being mentally prepared and spiritually prepared as a Christian believer. However, I believe that there is a difference, even though the aspects of these two overlap each other. Listen to me and see it through. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says this: "Be on guard, stand firm in your faith." So this is talking about something that is, you make a decision to stand firm, don't you? We make a decision to be on guard. Yet it is a mental, something that we decide to do that has spiritual ramification. That is why these things overlap. Be on guard, stand firm in your faith in God, respecting his precepts and keeping your doctrine sound. Act like mature men and be courageous, be strong. So here we go. Be alert, stand firm, be wise. You know what? And they use the idea of act like mature men. They use these words because supposedly age brings wisdom. Supposedly it's supposed to bring wisdom, isn't it, age? That's why it mentions it. And be strong. This talks of our situational awareness. This is about being alert to what is happening in our immediate environment and happening to us right now, that we make a decision that, do I believe God? Do I keep on moving on with God? Do I keep on believing for his goodness? Or do I buckle under the pressure that is coming on me? 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says this, be sober, well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. So be alert to what the enemy to our faith is doing. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3, a prudent and far-sighted person sees the evil of sin and hides himself from it. But the naive continue on and are punished by suffering the consequences of sin. So it's talking about this. We need to be on the lookout. We are way more likely to see trouble coming if we are on the lookout, if we are keeping ourselves alert, if we are open and alert to things. And therefore, there is a greater chance that we will be able to avoid it because we can make the cognitive thought process of going, no, I'm not going to follow down that way. I'm not going to believe that lie. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. Yeah? See, mental preparedness is something of an attitude. Or an act that can often be the opposite of what we're both feeling and even what we are thinking. You know what? It's too easy. Anybody notice it's too easy to get sidetracked by how we feel in a situation as opposed to what God has to say about something. Notice that one? Matthew 26, we see Christ's example on how to respond in a situation. The situation is quite immediately prior to his crucifixion. He knows what is coming and is clearly in distress about it. He realizes the enormity of what's going to occur. And the reality is that he could have easily forgone it. He could have easily said, nah, forget it. He could have in his humanity gone, nah, forget it, I'm not going to do this. It's too much for my humanity. I'm not going to do it. But he recognized he had to follow the will of God, will of his heavenly Father. Here we see the demonstration of mental toughness or a sense of preparedness in him, even knowing what he was going to go through, but he still goes ahead despite of his knowledge of the suffering to come. You know what? Sometimes we need to toughen up and not be so precious in things, don't we? You know, it goes for all of us at various times. Okay, I've just touched on those. I'm going to talk about spiritual preparedness. Because this is what has to be the center. This is what needs to center our walk. Spiritual preparedness, being spiritually prepared, supersedes all other forms of preparedness. That's why it says to look after your being physically fit is a good thing. Basically, that's what it says. But it's not the most important thing. It is not the most, but it's a good thing to make sure of. The Bible has a whole lot to say about spiritual preparedness. So the question needs to be both asked and answered. How do we then apply this to our lives? How do we then apply this idea of being spiritually prepared to the living of our lives? So let's roll back a little bit. Every one of us, i.e. all of mankind at some point in life, really must decide whether or not to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Yeah? And I would say to you today, if you're in here today and if you've not made a decision to make Jesus Christ your personal Savior and Lord, there will be an opportunity at the end to do that. This is just a starting point. This is just a starting point of a long journey of discipleship as followers of Christ. The Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4 and 15. But speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth. So notice that our speech and our lives expressing his truth. Let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. This idea of growing up in all things, this idea of growing up is a sense of maturing. It is a sense of gathering ground as such. It's a sense of getting ready, being more and more prepared. Such growing up is the process of spiritual readiness and formation. To be formed spiritually means to engage in specific practices and specific disciplines with one clear goal. The one clear goal of all of this, of living ready, of growing in God, is simply this: to draw nearer to God in Christ, and so therefore focus less on ourselves and more on him. That is the whole thing of being formed spiritually. It's to become more like Christ, not so governed by our flesh and all of that, but actually be governed by what God has to say. Richard of Chichester, a 13th century English bishop, once reflected on such practices. He said this, day by day, he said, three things I pray. Anybody knows this? To see thee more, to love thee more dearly, and to follow thee more nearly. Clearly, dearly, and nearly. To see him more clearly, to love him more dearly, and to follow him more nearly. You know what? More nearly. Being or becoming more spiritually ready or formed is a process that sharpens our alertness to God and helps us to be more and more like Christ in the power of Holy Spirit. And there are five facets of spiritual formation that I just want to touch on that we could just receive and maybe address in our lives. Five facets of spiritual formation. First one is this, reflective reading. Reflective reading. You know what? Just to open the Bible and read it and put it down is not enough. It simply is not enough. Well, I've read my Bible today. That's cool, but it really isn't enough. It's a little bit like, I've had my breakfast this morning and it's Cocoa Pops. Let me tell you, if that is all your diet's going to be, it's not enough. And it's going to lead you to trouble later on in life. If all your diet is Cocoa Pops for breakfast, yes, some of you need to stop having your Cocoa Pops for breakfast, because if you look at the back of the packet and see how much sugar is in that sucker, man alive, you'll never want to have another Cocoa Pop in all your life, and you parents really need to take that in with your children. They love Cocoa Pops because it is so sweet, because guess what? It has got so much sugar for you in it, and sugar is the white death. Really is. It's we are in the midst of a crisis in the world at the moment, in the Western, in all of the world, with the levels of sugar that is in everything. It's shocked us. It really has shocked us. Anyway, where was I talking about? Reflective reading. Bible reading should be a key part of our daily activity. Anybody? Yeah. There are different approaches to engaging with scriptures for spiritual formation and growth. Whole lots of resources are available. Find what works and do it. Whether you're a left brain or a right brain, or a left-sided brain or a right-sided brain person, find out what you are, because as a right-sided brain person, you will love to study. You will love to get into it and pick it all through. If you're a left-sided brain person, you'll go, golly, is there something better than this? You need to have something imaginative. Read it out. Think about it. Draw pictures of it, draw graphs about it, do something that's more imaginative rather than just doing a simple Bible study. But find out what works, I'll tell you what, because daily Bible reading feeds us spiritually. Thomas A. Kempis, anybody heard of him? A few of us heard of him. He's a 15th century French monk, suggested that Christian lay people practice Lectio Divina. He says this, "The good devout man first makes inner preparation for the actions he has later to perform. His outward actions do not draw him into lust and vice. Rather, it is he who bends them into the shape of reason and right judgment. He who has a stiffer battle to fight than the man who is striving to conquer himself." What are we doing? This is running out of battery already. I turned it off. That was the problem. I was thinking, I can't see. Talking about actually, we need to put the stuff on the inside of us. Reflective reading, reflectively reading the things of God is so good for us. Getting a scripture and meditating on it, writing it out, pulling it to bits, drawing pictures of about it, looking at it, what it does. I tell you what, that is food for our soul. You and our spirit, man, you cannot get away with it. I plead with you, read your word. Read the Bible and look at it and think about it and draw pictures of it. And even if you only end up knowing what one scripture says, that's cool because it's better than knowing nothing. Next one is this. So reflective reading was the first one. Next one is active repentance. You know what? What have I done here? I've gone from 4 to 5 to 6. Oh, no, that's right. My page numbers. Here we go. I am right here. Active repentance. So vital. Let me tell you why. If Bible reading is a foundation of a spiritual life that helps us enable the Word of God to help us grow in Christ in our heart, our mind, and our spirit at the same time, at the very same time that that's all going on, our humanity is warring against the things of God. Anybody notice that? Our humanity is letting us down at times. Anybody notice that? Our humanity gets distracted by things it shouldn't be distracted by. True? How do we take care of that? Jesus, this is what was said about Christ in Hebrews chapter 4 and 15. He was tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. You know what? As we move through spiritual formation, we become aware of our need to confess our sins to God. It's a vital thing to do. Sometimes the act of confession can happen privately, perhaps during worship service or something, when the Holy Spirit brings conviction on our lives. Whatever it takes, we need to find somebody. Can I encourage you to find someone that you can trust to hear you out? To hear you out if you nearly need to confess something to God. It's not to a person, it's to the Lord, but confession. When somebody else hears your confession, you know what it does? They can assure you of God's forgiveness and advise you of ways to amend or address your life and put some practices into place. That's why we need to be people who are accountable. That's another one of the points I want to talk about, being accountable. Ultimately, so number three is accountability. Ultimately, spiritual formation is about our personal growth in Christ. You and I need to have somebody. If we are to truly be prepared, we need to have somebody that is willing to speak into our lives and go, no more, knock it off. Or as I used to say to the kids when they were growing up, pull your head in. You're out of order. 1, 2, 3. Number four. Stewardship. And I want to talk about total stewardship. An essential element of our formation in our Christianity is stewardship of God's provision in our lives. To grow in spiritual readiness and maturity, we need to come to the understanding that we all have and therefore are entrusted. We've been called to share our time, our talents, and our treasure. Our time, our talents, and our treasure. It's not a bad thing at all to feel a challenge to give of ourselves in each of these three areas. You know what? And if we dare to take an honest inventory of the use of our time, our talents, and our money, and therefore discover the priorities that are revealed, I tell you what, it can cause us to reorient our daily life and actually start becoming more prepared for the things of God. And the last one I want to talk about is prayer. Personal prayer is paramount, totally paramount to our personal formation. It has been said that prayer must be the primary conversation in our lives. The Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians, and therefore talking to us today, to be totally open to at all times to God's grace. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 19 through to 19 says this: be unceasing and persistent in prayer in every situation, no matter what the circumstances. Be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and guiding of Holy Spirit. You know what? Get involved in something. Get involved in getting together with other people to pray. Do something about it. Practice some prayer discipline. So, as a quick summary, the Bible has a whole lot to say about prayer. About preparedness, sorry. Whole lot to say about preparedness, and particularly spiritual preparedness. And God so often calls us to be alert, to be on guard, to be watchful, to be prayerful, and to be ready. To be ready, living ready, is to be prepared. Being spiritually prepared encompasses all the other areas of preparedness. We need to be active in talking to Him, asking for His help, helping ourselves by taking action. The actions we take are storing up reserves of readiness for whenever we need it. We all need to have reserves of readiness on the inside of us, built up spiritual readiness on the inside of us. Whether it be physical, mental, or spiritual, we must store things up. He asks us to be ready and waiting for Him, but to be active in our waiting. Be prepared. So you can truly live ready. Amen? Amen. Father, we give you thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I ask you, Father, that you would help us to be men and women that would be more and more prepared in your things, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.